So, today we are talking about frequency analysis. Frequency analysis is a processing made on the sound recorded by a microphone, and the goal is to obtain the so-called spectrum of the sound. The sound spectrum is a chart of sound pressure level in decibel, in vertical, versus frequency in horizontal. If you look at the display of the instrument and you did not mess it up pressing buttons, it should already show you the instantaneous spectrum of my voice while I am talking. Okay? The spectrum can be simple or complex. A simple spectrum only contains energy at a small number of frequencies. So what you see is just one or two or three spectral lines that are pure tones, actually. So the sound is composed of sinusoidal waveforms. Instead, you can have a more complex spectrum until you reach a continuous spectrum where there are thousands of sinusoids simultaneously. So they are actually not sinusoid anymore, it is just a mess, and we usually call this noise because it is a mess and there is a complex spectrum containing energy at every frequency. Let us see the evolution from the most simple spectrum, which is a pure tone, just one sinusoidal signal, as the one we were considering inside the tube with the plane wave generator. That is a very special case where there is only one frequency in your sound. A perfectly sinusoidal waveform, which in spectral analysis come back to be just one spectral line. Of course, there will be energy at the particular frequency of your sinusoid and zero at every other frequency. One added complexity comes when you go from one spectral line to a small number of spectral lines. This is called a complex spectrum. This is a pure tone, and this is not pure because there is more than one sinusoid. In some cases, the frequency of these sinusoids are all multiple of the fundamental. For example, the fundamental can be 200 Hz, second one is 400, 600, 800, and so on. This is called an harmonic spectrum. And the tones having frequency multiple of the fundamental are called harmonics, spectral harmonics. These also come from musical notation. Also in musical notation you have this concept of harmonics. The harmonics of a given note are the notes, the same notes, one octave above, two octave above, three octave above. If, for example, you play a C on the keyboard of the piano, then there will be the next C key and the next one, and every time the frequency increase of a multiple. Typically, in the case of the keyboard of the piano, every C note is twice the frequency as the previous one. So if you have a C note at 200 Hz, the following C note on the keyboard will be 400 and so on, because every octave means doubling the frequency. Okay? So typically this kind of sound with a number of peaks is typical of musical instruments, and particularly of voiced musical instruments. Those musical instruments which play a clear note. There are some other instruments, like percussive instruments, which don't have such a clear structure of just a little number of tones. But for example, a piano or a violin, those are voiced instruments, and they have a spectrum exactly like this one. Okay? Then the balance between the different harmonics give you the timbre of the instrument. The timbric properties of an instrument depend on the balancing between the harmonics composing the spectrum. Musicians distinguish between even harmonics and odd harmonics. Of course, if this is the fundamental, This is the first harmonic, this is the second. First harmonic is odd, because one is an odd number. Second harmonic is even, because two is an even number. Okay? So there are odd and even harmonics. And what is usually said is that people love even harmonics and hate odd harmonics. But every instrument has a different timbre, a different task, and for proper balancing you should have the good amount of even and odd harmonics. And of course an instrument like a violin have harmonics going up to 40 kHz. You cannot hear them, but they are there. Instead, other kind of instruments have not so many harmonics. They have a lower harmonic content in their spectrum. For example, wind instruments usually are quite damped at high order harmonics. There is the fundamental, just three or four harmonics, and then everything is gone. This is different perceptual characteristic to every kind of musical instrument. Then we have a continuous spectrum of a noise source in this case, which is not flat, of course. It has some peaks, some valleys, another very strong peak, another valley, and so on. What you see here is that at every frequency you name, you find some energy, some pressure level. So there is no zero energy in part of the spectrum. The spectrum is also called wideband. Wideband because it range between 20 Hz and 20 kHz, and more or less there is always energy. Finally, a particular case of a continuous spectrum of a wideband noise is called white noise. The white noise is flat. It has exactly the same spread, the same energy, the same sound pressure level at every frequency. So it is a flat spectrum. The word spectrum comes from light analysis, from colorimetry actually. When you analyze the light of the sun, for example, you decompose it through a prismatic lens, and what you get is the color spectrum. The color spectrum is a chart showing you how much light intensity you have at different wavelengths. That means different colors, actually. So, a white spectrum is called white because if this was the spectrum of the light, a light having a flat spectrum looks white. Okay? This doesn't look white, this sounds like white. And I will play you the white sound and you will learn how to discriminate the white sound, the white noise, from other kind of colored noise. The noise can have many colors. White is of course the most easy to understand, but there is pink noise, there is brown noise, there is blue noise, and so on. Every of these colored spectra, they are not flat, of course, because only the white is flat, and if it is flat, it is white, and the colored spectra are continuous, and they have, for example, some slope. They are not flat, but they are aligned with a given slope, and the slope gives you the color, okay? This is the tradition in acoustics to name different type of noise with colors. Pink noise is particularly nice, I would say. Brown noise has too much low frequency, is a bit ugly, but it depends on task, of course. White noise is not particularly nice to listen. It's quite harsh. It is more or less the sound that compressed air makes when exiting from a compressor or from an air bottle. You open the valve and you hear shh. That's white noise, okay? And it's not particularly enjoying to listen. But for making acoustical tests, often it is useful to play white noise through a loudspeaker for checking how the loudspeaker colors the sound. You play the white noise, you place an instrument like the one which is in the class now in front of the loudspeaker, you will not see a flat chart, you will see a chart with peaks and valleys like this one. And this is the frequency response of your loudspeaker. Because you was playing flat, it does not behave flat because it is coloring the sound. You see, we also use these words coming from colorimetry applied to sound. You must get used to that. You must manage this kind of language. Now there is a very important slide showing you the relationship between the waveform in time domain with the spectrum in frequency domain. Going back and forth between these two domains is something which in acoustic you have to do every day, because some things are better shown in time domain, some other are better shown in frequency domain. The two things are interrelated because it is two ways of showing the same information, actually. The signal coming from the microphone, what you have as input in both of this chart is the same signal captured by the microphone, the same electrical data. So you can show the result in these two ways, but the total information contained is the same. And you can transfer the waveform in a spectrum, or you can transfer back a spectrum in the corresponding waveform. The pure tone is a sinusoidal waveform, as we expected. A complex tone, like this one, which is an harmonic tone, you see there is frequency F0, 2F0, 3F0, and so on. This is the spectrum, for example, of a musical instrument. Thank you. Now we switch off. You have lost the spectrum here. Ha ha! L'avete impistolato di brutto. No, se qualcuno non ha visto lo spettro danzare, l'ho rimesso a posto. If you want to see again with the spectrum, because someone pressed the buttons and messed it up, you can also switch on the light. Okay, but it's here. Perhaps during the interval you come back and you play with it again. Now I switch off for saving the batteries. This instrument is quite hungry of batteries. So, a complex waveform in time domain has a very important characteristic. It's periodic. So the waveform repeats identical after a time, which is the length, the period, as the length of the reciprocal of the fundamental frequency. So if frequency, the fundamental frequency was F0, the period of this periodic waveform will be 1/F0. Of course, the waveform is not a perfect sinusoid. It's complex, but it is still periodic. It's perfectly repeatable time over time over time. Instead, when we have the noise, the white band noise, the waveform is usually apparently random. It is a mess. There are peaks and valleys and you cannot understand anything. There is never a period and it never repeats identical. It's completely random numbers, a sequence of random numbers. These provide a continuous spectrum which can be represented in this way, but it can also be represented in this other way. This is what this instrument is doing. It's not making a narrow band spectrum like this one, is making a wide band spectrum where a little number of wide bands are employed for analyzing the signal and getting its spectrum. These reduce the complexity of the spectral information. In this case, for example, in the end, you only get five numbers, the sound pressure level for each of these five bands. The whole spectrum can take up to 10 bands, perhaps. So the number of numbers is strongly reduced with a band analysis. Of course, you are also losing information. You see that here there were two peaks and one valley in between, but when you analyze in these wide bands, you don't see anymore this detail. So you reduce the number of numbers, but you also lose information. If instead you keep a narrow band analysis, you have the whole information, and when you have the whole information, you can go back to time domain. From a wide band analysis, you cannot reconstruct the original waveform. So we have two ways of analyzing the signal for getting the spectrum. The first one is narrow band or constant band, constant width bands, in which you divide the whole axis of frequency in a large number of small bands with bandwidth delta F. Every band is delimited by a lower frequency and an higher frequency, two boundaries, and the signal coming between these two limit frequency pass through, is analyzed. The signal outside this bandwidth is rejected. We can create a bank filter, or a filter bank is called, employing two different processing methods. The fast Fourier transform, which provides you a constant bandwidth spectrum in which all the bands have the same delta F, or a constant percentage bandwidth, typically in octaves, where each band does not have the same bandwidth as the previous one, but going up in frequency, the band becomes larger and larger, and for octave bands, every band is twice as wide as the previous one. So you have, for example, one octave band at 1 kHz, and then the following octave band will be 2 kHz. The following will be 4 kHz. The following will be 8 kHz, and so on. But let me start with the other type, the fast Fourier transform method for making spectral analysis. In this case, every band has the same width in Hertz. For example, 1 Hertz, 10 Hertz, 4 Hertz, 16 Hertz, the number of Hertz contained in each band can be changed. We will see that you cannot change it freely. There are some limitations, but you can have a very narrow band analysis with less than 1 Hertz resolution, really narrow, or you can have more broadband. What important is that once you choose a bandwidth, this bandwidth will stay the same for the whole spectrum. So you will have one band if you choose, for example, 10 Hertz. Let me choose, for example, the 10 Hertz bandwidth. The first band will be 20 to 30, because the spectrum starts at 20 Hertz, and the first band will be 20 to 30. The second one will be 30 to 40, and so on. The last band will be close to 20 kHz, so it will be 90,990 to 20. So at low frequency, those bands appear to be relatively wide compared to the center frequency. Instead, at very high frequency, these bands are incredibly narrow, considering the average frequency in the center of the band. This is not how our hearing system perceives the sound. This constant resolution along the frequency axis is completely different to human resolution along the frequency axis, which I will explain at the end of the lesson. But for now, just consider this fact, that this is not natural, is not physiological, does not correspond to how we hear the sound, okay? You get thousands of numbers So this kind of processing require a powerful machine. Nowadays our computers are powerful, so it's not really a problem to get a spectrum with 10,000 frequency bands. It's not a problem today. 20 years ago it was a big problem. It did require computational power which was not available in a portable instrument like this one. It was completely impossible to make this kind of high frequency, high resolution analysis on a portable instrument like this one. Today, on a digital computer, the tool, the numerical tool for doing quickly this kind of filtering for computing the spectrum is the fast Fourier transform. We are not going to explain here today how the fast Fourier transform works. This will be the topic of one lesson in the second half of the course, where the lessons are just for engineers. And then you will learn all the tricks and the magic of the fast Fourier transform. For now, you just need to know that you get a chunk of waveform, a piece of signal, call FFT, and FFT give you the spectrum. And that's all. That's magic for now. Okay? We will learn how it does, but not now. For today, it is a black box. You feed, for example, 1 second of signal to Mr. FFT, and Mr. FFT, puff, magically give up the spectrum. And that's all. Very quickly, that's the point. It's called fast because it takes, for example, 5 milliseconds to compute the spectrum of 1 second. So it is 200 times faster than real time. It is incredibly fast. A computer like this can perform FFT analysis in real time of 200 microphones connected to the computer. It's really fast. On a modern machine, it's blasting fast. Okay, let's look at the other side of the world. The traditional octave band analysis, called also constant percent wave bandwidth analysis. This comes from music, of course. This comes from the keyboard piano, the keyboard of any musical instrument, actually, where the spectrum is divided in octave, and as you probably know, there are 12 notes for each octave. They are called semitones in musical notation. Some people wrongly think that the notes are 7. Of course, it's wrong, the notes are 12. If you just look at the keyboard of a piano and you count the keys, you immediately see that in between a C and the next C there are 12 keys. 7 are white, 5 are black, but that is just for the musical tradition. But the semitones are 12, not 7. Okay? So every octave the frequency doubles. That is the basic. A octave bandwidth filter is a filter in which the ratio between the bandwidth and the center frequency is 1 divided the square root of 2, which approximately is 0.707. The center frequency is defined as the geometrical average of the low and high frequency. Being an octave band filter, the upper limit frequency is twice the lower limit frequency. So, let me stay for now to octave band filters. Let me consider a filter which is, well, this kind of filters on the spectrum correspond to a rectangular bandwidth. If this is the frequency, an octave band filter is a rectangular filter which allow the sound to pass with zero gain, 0 dB gain, so it does not amplify, but it also does not reduce the gain, in the pass band is called, and the pass band is the range between F low, here, this is F low, and F high, here. Now, for an octave band filter, F high is twice than F low. The most famous octave band filter is the filter centered at 1 kHz, and the center, of course, is here. So let me consider the filter at 1K, 1000 Hz. The 1K filter is a low frequency limit F-low, which is 707 Hz. So, if F-low is 707, how much will be F-I, the upper frequency limit? Who can answer? Excuse me? 14. 1414, twice the flow value. So this filter starts at 707 Hz and at 1414 Hz. If the signal is between the filter, we leave it to pass through the filter without any alteration, without any reduction or amplification. If the signal is outside this window, it will be completely zeroed, killed. No signal is passing. This in theory. In practice, these filters are always smooth in some way, but this is a detail. Conceptually, it is a brick wall filter with these two cutting frequency of 707 and 1414. Okay? This is one octave. For covering the whole spectrum, you need to use 10 octave bands. Starting from the central band, which, as usual, is the one centered at 1 kHz, you have some bands below 1 kHz, 500, 250, 125, 63, 31, and then it will be 16, but 16 is already infrasound. So usually the band of 16 Hz is not considered in an acoustical analysis. Also, this instrument can measure the zero band. The band zero is 16 kHz. Then band 1 is 31, band 2 is 64, band 3 is 125, band 4 is 250. You must get used to this multiple frequency because those are standardized. And when you specify the spectrum of a sound source, you specify the level for each of these bands. Okay? This is octave band. Then there are also fractional octave band. The most widely employed, the one employed by these instruments, as it was when I gave it to you, was one-tiered octave band. So every octave band is divided in three sub-bands. In this case, the ratio between delta F divided F is O dot 232, which I think is the cubic root of 2. 2 raised at 1/3. This is the ratio between the upper and lower frequency. So this means in practice that if you apply this rule 3 times, you get 2, which means you get 1 octave. So again, there will be a one-tiered octave band centered at 1 kHz. The previous one is 800. The upper one will be 1250, more or less. Again, there is a table for the normalized center frequency, standardized center frequency, for the 10 octave band or the 30 third octave band. How the instruments work for performing in real time this analysis. In the past, it did employ 30 analog filters, analog circuit, wired circuit made of capacitor, resistor, inductors, and so on. So it was bulky, it did take a lot of energy for dividing the signal in so many sub-signal, amplify them and feeding them through the filter. Nowadays, it employs numerical filter, digital filter. So actually, inside here there is a microprocessor, like a small computer, which convert the signal in digital domain and perform this kind of filtering with numerical computation. Again, in the second part of the course, I will explain you what this IIR means and how actually these filters are computed. But for today, just think that it is still a band pass filtering, and this is performed in the digital domain instead of employing an analog circuit. This table contains the center band frequencies. For example, these are 4-octave band, you see 63, 125, 250, and so on. The last one is 16 kHz. But for each band, you get the low and high frequency limit. You see, for example, the 16 kHz band starting at 11,360 and ending at 22 kHz. So it actually exceeds the hearing limit. Okay? These are the 1/3 octave band limits, and of course now the band are 30 instead of being 10. Here actually are 11, because you see there is also band 0. Band 0 is the one centered at 16 kHz, which is for the most part in the infrasound area. But still the instrument can measure it, so it's listed here. Okay? So this is the complex spectrum, ranging in this case between 16 Hz up to 20 kHz. You need to have this table because it can be useful for doing some exercise and some computation during the examination. Now, the practice. How a spectrum looks. This is the spectrum of the human voice. I was myself talking, analyzed with a software which we are going to use now in 1/3 octave band and 1 octave band. The same spectrum. As you see in 1/3 octave band, you see some details which you cannot see with octave band because they are coarser, so the analysis is less refined. But it's easier to manage when doing computation because you have less number to manage. At maximum here you manage 10 numbers, here you have to manage 30 numbers. Those new numbers for today's computer are still very small, but think 30 or 40 years ago, making real-time computation of a 1/3 octave spectrum was above the capability of a supercomputer of the time. And octave band analysis was often preferred because it did take 1/3 of the computational resource to be computed. So, as those spectra started to be created by numerical analysis on microprocessor or similar thing, they started with octave band, and only later, this was the first instrument on the market capable of 1/3 octave real-time analysis. Before this instrument was introduced on the market, around 15 years ago, previously, the Handel analyzer were all octave band only. It was not possible to have 1/3 octave on a Handel unit like this one. This instead is the FFT analysis. And here you see the FFT spectrum, it is the same spectrum. nothing changes, only how it is charted. In this case, the chart employs a linear frequency axis, which exploits the fact that all the points composing this chart represent the same bandwidth in Earth. And this is instead how the spectrum looks when you plot the horizontal axis with logarithmic frequency axis. Why we use logarithmic frequency axis? Because when you perform one octave or one tiered octave analysis and you chart all the band with the same width, with the same graphical width, in reality the axis here is now logarithmic, because the same aperture, the same graphical aperture, means doubling the frequency. So here you are doubling, here you are doubling again, here you are doubling again, and so on. So this is a logarithmic frequency axis. So in theory, the shape of the spectrum, even if it is FFFT, if it is narrow band, on a logarithmic axis should look the same as the octave band spectrum. In reality, this is not true. Why it is not true? Because here all the bands have the same aperture, the same bandwidth. Here, the bands are becoming, in reality, larger and larger and larger. Let's come back to the white noise. The white noise is flat, but it is flat if you analyze with bandwidth, which is constant. Every band with a width of 1 Hz shows the same level. But what happens when you apply octave bands, where every band is not the same bandwidth, but it is twice the bandwidth? If it is twice the bandwidth, you get twice the energy. When you sum all the energy contained in a given band. And if you sum twice the energy, you get 3 dB more. So the octave band spectrum of a white noise is not flat anymore. It's a ramp rising 3 dB per octave. See the example. Now it is in 1/3 octave band, but it is the same. This is white noise, the upper chart, flat in narrow band analysis, not flat, but ramping up with a slope of 3 dB per octave, or if you prefer, of 1 dB per 1/3 octave, which is the same, of course. This is 1/3 octave, the spectrum, and all these gradings, all these steps, are 1 dB. 1 dB, 1 dB, 1 dB, it's boosting. Why this is happening? Because those bands look the same width, but this is just a chart. They are not the same width. They are becoming wider and wider and wider. And so, for example, let me chart it here. You have one band here with this bandwidth. Then you take the next octave band, is twice as large. And the next one is even twice as large. So, of course, this band is capturing twice the energy than this, which is capturing twice the energy of this, which is capturing twice the energy of this, and so on. You understand? So, the white spectrum, the white noise, as a flat spectrum with FFT in narrow band analysis, but it is not flat anymore when you perform octave or 1/3 octave analysis, which is actually, till today, the most widely employed way of analyzing the sound. Why? Not only because the computation is cheaper than performing the FFT, but particularly because it is very close to the human resolution in frequency domain. Our hearing system works roughly in 1/3 octave band. Our human resolution corresponds quite closely to 1/3 octave band. So, performing an analysis with 1/3 octave resolution gives you a chart which is a good match with your hearing, with your human perception. So, as one-third octave analysis is the most used one, a different type of test signal was defined, and that is the pink noise, and the pink noise is defined as a noise which is flat when analyzed in one-third octave band. So when you analyze the pink noise with an octave or one-third octave analyzer, you analyze it and it is flat. When you analyze with a narrow band analyzer, it is not flat anymore. It is a line sloping down with a constant slope, and guess how much is this negative slope? Any guess? You are sleeping. I am sleeping too. Time to get a coffee. If this was ramping up by 3 decibels per octave and here is flat, when you make this flat, this will ramp down by 3 decibels per octave. Okay? So, this is white noise. This is pink noise. Now we are going to show them to you. But before making the gain, the toying with this thing, I explain you that there is another way of analyzing the sound in a more psychoacoustical way, using the critical bands, also called bark. They were introduced by Eberhard Zwicker in 1961. I must tell you that this proposal got very little success, because Mr. Zwicker was a scientist which is at least 20 years ahead of his time. He proposed things which are feasible now, 40 years later, but were completely unfeasible at his time. But he had the vision, so he did understand how good could be to use a bandwidth, a filter bands with not constant bandwidth and not constant percentage bandwidth. So he defined this table of center frequencies. If you see here at low frequency, the resolution is linear, 100, 200, 300, 400. Then something comes strange. Now it is logarithmic in the central frequency, and then it becomes exponential. This is how really our hearing system works. So the resolution, the frequency resolution, the spectral analysis capability of our ear is not exactly one-third octave. It is this one. And it's possible now to build instruments working with these 24 bark bands. It's possible. There is only one manufacturer of instruments which did build such an instrument. He did never manage to sell a number of them, because all the regulation and the standard are written for third octave analysis. So why purchase an instrument which gives you an interesting spectrum, but which has no legal value, which you cannot use for making professional measurement? So this bark thing did fail, actually. This chart shows you the comparison between the frequency resolution, the bandwidth of the one-third octave bands, which on a logarithmic chart of frequency increase linearly with frequency, and this is the bark scale. You see that above, say, 400 Hz, more or less, the bark scale give you more or less the same resolution as the one-third octave band. And that's the reason for which I told you before that the hearing system is roughly one-third octave band. But at very low frequency, the one-third octave band becomes very small, too small actually. Our hearing system is not so good at very low frequency. We have already seen in the previous lesson that our hearing system has little sensitivity at low frequency. It also has little frequency resolution. Really, our hearing system works very bad below 400 Hz, compared to the hearing system of many animals, for example, because our hearing system is focused on listening speech, and human speech is more or less 300 Hz to 3 kHz. So that is the central frequency range where our hearing system works at its best. At very low frequency, it works very bad with very bad frequency resolution. So now we try to play with some software capable of performing this kind of spectral analysis. This software is called Spectra Plus, and you can download it and use it for free for 1 month. Where is that? Program Spectra Plus. Okay. Okay, let me close a number of things. My screen was much bigger, of course, so this is the total power, we don't need that. This is the signal generator. Okay. Okay, now the chart on the display is divided in two. There is the waveform here, like an oscilloscope, and the spectrum here. I press run, and the system starts analyzing my voice. What you see here below is the waveform of my voice. I try to make a pure tone. Making it really sinusoidal is not so easy with my voice. I'm not a singer, a professional singer. Of course, a professional singer can create a quite pure tone. You see there is a peak here, which is the fundamental. At more or less 327 Hz. And then there are some harmonic. Actually just one. I am not a violin. Okay. A violin has much larger number of harmonies. Let me see also the background noise of the air conditioning system of this room. This is a wide band noise without any evident peak. Okay. The chart above now is a narrow band analysis with logarithmic frequency axis. Let me change it to linear frequency axis, option scaling, linear, narrowband linear. Everything now looks squeezed at very low frequency. So looking at this chart, you get the erroneous impression that the sound is only at very low frequency, which is actually not the case with my voice. But this linear chart is misleading. So my suggestion is never look at spectrum, either narrow band or octave band, with a linear frequency axis. It's simply wrong, at least for acoustics. So it's better not to use these settings. Much better the logarithmic frequency axis. It provides a more reasonable spectrum, more close to what you hear. Then we can also choose to employ the constant band, the constant percentage bandwidth, octave analysis. For example, octave bands. You see now there are 10 bands on the screen. Every band is centered at a certain frequency. The one here is centered at 1 kHz. Okay. Okay. Not nice. Sorry. Okay. And then we go in narrower frequencies. One tier. Pa 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 pa. Bo 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 bo. This is more or less the same frequency resolution your hearing system has, but the instrument can do it much narrower wanting. For example, like musical notes, 1/12 of an octave, one spectrum band for each key of the piano keyboard. Now the resolution is quite good. It starts to compete with with narrow band analysis. And for certain application it is even better, because it provides this variable frequency resolution along the spectrum, which is similar to our hearing system. So I almost never use FFT and constant bandwidth, because that is not how we hear. It's always better to employ fractional octave analysis, which can be made very narrow band. This is still a medium resolution, but you can go to 124 of octave, 148, 196 of octave. That's incredibly narrow. It's so narrow that is now better to change the way you chart for being able to see the spectrum. One thing I point you, see the level. Now are very weak. See, it almost never exceeds 80 decibels. You see, the level now are weak. If we came back to octave band, now the level is much louder. It exceeds, now it's not calibrated, of course, it exceeds 100 decibels. So it is 30 decibels louder, or 20 decibels louder. Why this happens? Because the band are wider. If the band is wider, it captures more energy. If the band is very narrow, it captures very little. So it is completely meaningless to say the sound pressure level should not exceed, say, 100 decibels at 1 kHz. Yeah, but what is the bandwidth? If you don't specify the bandwidth, the previous phrase is completely meaningless, because it is always possible to make the sound to appear less than a given limit at one frequency. Just make the frequency analysis in band which are narrow and narrow and narrow and narrower, making them infinitely small, the level fall down incredibly. Coming back to narrow band analysis, the number of spectral lines is given by half the number of the FFT points. The FFT point is what you see on the display, is the time window of signal being analyzed. If you make this longer and longer and longer, the frequency resolution will become smaller and smaller and smaller, because you get a lot of frequency bands. So let me now choose, for example, 1 million points. Okay, 1 million points is a lot of time. Now the system is sampling 48,000 points per second. So 1 million points is probably a couple of minutes. So we have to wait a lot before the system gives you the spectrum. 2 minutes, actually. But when you get this spectrum will have an incredible resolution. And so the level will be incredibly weak. Okay? So it makes absolutely no sense to specify a level and a frequency without specifying the bandwidth, because the bandwidth influences the level. The larger the bandwidth, the louder will be the level. An octave band, which is actually the largest band you can have, you see, now it's arrived. You see, it's 25 seconds, this time frame. So this time frame is very long, and the spectrum has an incredibly high resolution, so at every frequency, the level is now very, very weak. Okay? So amplitude and resolution are interrelated. There is no solution to this. You always have to specify the bandwidth. So a sensible formulation will be the octave band level at 1 kHz should not exceed 100 decibels. That is easy to verify. You bring your analyzer in octave band mode, measure the 1 octave band value at 1 kHz, and if this is below 100 Hz, you are okay. Okay, so this is more or less what I wanted to show you. Now I just need to create the white noise signal and the pink noise signal and show them to you. I prefer to generate them with Adobe Audition. It's more didactical. Also, this software can generate, but here is more stupid perhaps. So I create a new waveform, 48 kHz mono, 32-bit, and then generate noise, and we start generating the white noise, 30 seconds long. This is the white noise in time domain. Let me save it as white. Okay. Now we open it from here. We go into open. White. Okay, no, not okay, because it did not like the format of the signal. It probably want a 24-bit waveform. White 24. Okay. File open. White 24. Okay, this is the signal. We can play it and see the spectrum. It should be flatter than this. It's not a very nice spectrum. We can make some averaging for making it more flat. Averaging infinite, linear, okay. This is one. Going on the averaging, it becomes perfectly flat, as you see. Now we try an octave band analysis. See the spectrum going to that by 3 decibels per octave. Now we create the pink noise. New. 48, general, noise, pink. Okay, save as pink 24, check that, yeah, it's 24-bit, save. Come back here, open, try. This is the sound card, which is probably cutting slightly very low frequencies. And now we go back to narrow band. And I'm falling back. Okay. So what happens is, if you analyze the same spectrum, the same voice, for example, in octave bands and in one-tiered octave bands, the spectrum rotates by 3 decibels per octave. It does not happen only with white noise and pink noise. It also happens with my voice. Let me record my voice. Pa pa pa. Is recording or not? Pa para papero, papero, papo para papo. Okay. What you have seen here during the recording was the narrow band analysis spectrum, and just memorize it on your eyes. When we go back to, for example, one-tiered octave analysis, and we analyze the same recording. You see two things. First, the levels are much louder because the bands are much wider. And second, the shape of the spectrum now has more high frequency, because at high frequency the bands are larger, and having larger bands at high frequency push up the level at high frequency. Okay? So also the shape of the spectrum depends on the type of analysis. You cannot tell as a spec you should have a loudspeaker with a flat spectrum. What does this mean? It is flat in narrow band, or it is flat in one-tiered octave band? Of course the answer is different, and the sound is different, okay? What I have to tell you is that for sounding nice to a human hearing system, it should be flat in one-tiered octave analysis. If it is flat in narrow band analysis, it has a lot of high frequency, and you perceive it harsh. When listening to these two noise spectra, you hear how pink noise is smoother and nicer, and white noise is and harsh. So actually our hearing system prefers pink to white. And a proper specification for something sounding good, it should sound pink, it should not sound white. Okay. Any question about this topic of frequency analysis and so on? No. Time to stop and make a good practice.